of Adjustments meeting to order of April 29th, 2010. Saw County Board of Adjustments. The staff certifies that the meeting is properly noticed.
There has been a question raised regarding SP 510, the city garbage transportation. The question is, if on the east side of Highway 80, there are some properties located on the ferry. They were not able to deal with. The town of Fairfield was provided with notice on published paper. The Board of Adjustment has no real authority jurisdiction town of Fairfield except Shoreland. Shoreland there. So I don't know if there's three agencies. I don't know what's next. And if the director is here to answer any questions.
I guess the question that pops into my mind is, can we have variance?
I can't answer that. This question just came up yesterday, and I didn't hear about it, so I don't know if the first hear it and postpone a vote, or if should this all be postponed another time, or go ahead and hear it and act. I just don't know.
Mark, have you got any insight into this?
I have. I put a call into the court counsel yesterday, but she was out. And I was just talking to Chad, the assistant court counsel, just now, and he's going to pull the statute books on that. But, you know, based on my information and what we have in the ordinance and the statute, is the minimum requirement is a Class 2 notice, which is posting in the official newspaper for 2 consecutive weeks, which we have done. And then as part of that, we notice all interested parties, and generally that is neighboring property owners within so many feet or within a quarter mile, and that's Chad sitting back there. So generally we notice people within a quarter mile, and if it's a subdivision we look a little less, but in this case the people on the east side of County Truck A were not noticed. The town was noticed, but not the actual individual property owners. So barring Chad's
what we could do is we could proceed with the other cases and hold off until we and pursue. Would that be acceptable?
Change the order
of.
I would appreciate
other
that.
Cases?
Yes.
Okay. Why don't we do that?
Okay.
Right. Other than that, we will have an amendment to the agenda. Let me pull that up here. That the agenda notice, well, let's go through that. We will change the Item A5A, City of Baraboo Special Exemption Permit. We will put that as the, after 5E, Bell Dynasty LLC. The first case we will hear is David Kamen, A-A-M-M-A-N, I believe that's spelled. And okay, we have a motion to approve it. Your second?
Second.
So we have a motion and a second to amend the agenda. As noted. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All right, we need a motion to certify that the meeting has been noticed. Okay. We have a motion. Do we have a second? motion to certify, and a second to certify the meeting has been properly noticed. All in favor say aye.
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 Motion to approve minutes of the prior meeting.
Second.
And we have a motion to approve the minutes of the prior meeting with the March meeting. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? We have four positive votes. Dave Wernicke abstained. Do we have any communications with the board? Unreported? And I'm going to introduce the staff here. I'm myself, Richard Volk. I'm the chairperson. We have Bob Roloff, the secretary on my left, Ben Holton, Dave Wernicke, and Ron Lestico. And we have Dave. Today we have five cases. The following procedure will be used. A member of the Office of Planning and Zoning will present the facts and background of the case. The applicant will be invited to speak to the committee. Individuals in favor will be invited to speak to the committee. Individuals opposed will be invited to speak to the committee. Individuals as interest may appear will be invited to speak to the committee. People that wish to speak in any of the categories need to sign in with a member of the planning and zoning staff. And then as a fact of the rule, there's a form to fill out. At the appropriate time, they will come forward one at a time and will be sworn in. Proceedings are being audio taped, so please no speaking from the audience. Show us an exhibit. We'll keep it in our files. At the end of testimony, public hearing for that case will be closed, and the board can make a decision or table the case for more information in the future. Certified letter of the board's findings and decisions will be mailed to the applicant. Yeah, let's read the first case.
Public notice of sewer damage to all persons from the county of Crawford Township that a public hearing will be held on April 29th, 10, 9 a.m. or soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the county boardroom in the Crawford County Westshore Building, River, Wisconsin, relative to local carrier private company, Crawford County Shoreland, Texas College. Granted a special exception permit pursuant to Section 8.8.6.8.1, authorized filling and grading as needed.
I do. Dave Lorenz, Sauk County Planning and Zoning. This request is for a special exception permit to authorize filling and grading as completed on slopes of more than 20%. The property is located in the Shoreland Protection Zoning District on real estate described as S-740A West Redstone Drive, part of the southeast quarter of the southeast quarter of Section 11, Town 13 North, Range 3 East, County Lavelle. Previous permits, we had land use permits, the records of land use permits in 1992 for a set of stairs down to the water, in 2000 for a detached garage, and then for sanitary permits, we had a record of the replacement holding tank issued in 2009. Previous appeals before the Board of Adjustment in 2002, there was an appeal for filling and grading of slopes of more than 20%. That was a landscaping project in a rear yard between the house and the lake. There have been no citations issued at this property. When reviewing this special exception proposal for filling and grading in the Shoreland Protection District, the Board of Adjustment looked at several criteria, including the conditions in Section 8.08, Parent 3, and the provisions specified in Sections 814, Parent 3, Parent B, and 814, Parent 3C. Section 8.08, Parent 3, Parent A1 of the Sauk County Shoreland Protection Ordinance provides that a special exception permit is required for any filling or grading of slopes of more than 20%. Surrounding properties, the site is surrounded by a residential subdivision. There is a flood zone map that was attached. There were no flood zone issues at this location. There are no map wetlands indicated in this area. Lake Redstone is a navigable body of water and is subject to the Shoreland Protection Ordinance. If I could direct the board to take a look at the photographs, the exhibits 5, 1, and 2. Photo number 1 is the area that was used for the access. This would be looking to the lot to the north. Part of this existing access is on the neighbor's property, and they did receive a filling and grading permit for work down on the shoreline a few years ago, and this access was put in at that time to service that. And this neighbor granted permission for the Caymans to utilize that to access the area that they needed to get to replace the holding tanks. Photo number 2 shows the north side of the home that was the location of the temporary access. And you can see by that picture that it's a rather steep slope. Photo number 3, that is the bottom of the, or the lakeside area of the temporary access that was put in. If the erosion control, the breaker run is still in place, the silt fence is still in place, and it has been seeded and mulched. The seed is coming up. And photo 4, that's a view to the west towards West Redstone Drive. And Gina, if we could start the video, please. Oh, we're going to take a look at the Baraboo transfer site first. This is the, let's see, that's the access. This is taken from the north lot. Their driveway, and this was the access that they utilized on the neighbor's property to get down to that area. That's looking to the north. That's to the west towards the lake. This is down below it. See that the silt fence is still in place, the breaker run that they installed is still in place. There is erosion netting over the area, and it's been seeded, and the seed has started to establish itself. I did notice, and you can see it there, there was some settling around the holding tanks. That would need to be filled in and reseeded yet. But that's a small area, and at the holding tank location, we don't have the 20% slope. planning and zoning would recommend that the following conditions be considered by the board should the board grant the special exception permit. A, all work on and use of the premises shall proceed with plans and supplemental evidence presented at this hearing. It is the responsibility of the applicant to secure all required town, state, federal, and county permits within 1 year of the hearing date. County permits required for this approval would include a land use permit. B, erosion control shall be installed and maintained until the site is stabilized. And C, the Sauk County Planning and Zoning shall be granted permission to view the site to ensure compliance with these conditions and other relevant provisions of the Sauk County Ordinance. Power to ensure compliance with these conditions is given to Sauk County Planning and Zoning, and if the department finds that any of these conditions have been violated, they are hereby authorized to take corrective action, either through suspension of the permit, citations, or by any means of enforcement that is within their power.
Any questions today?
Yeah, I guess I'm a little confused where this project is completed.
Yes.
And what are we saying they did without a permit? Now we're getting it after the fact.
Yes. They cut into these steep slopes in order to get down and replace the holding tanks that were issued. And when that inspection was done for those holding tanks, it was noted that there was this disturbance on slopes in excess of 20%.
So this is basically incidental to considering incidental putting holding tanks.
Correct. It was the only way to get access. Get a backload out to be able to carry the holding tanks and put them in place.
When was this year?
It was last year.
Generally, the idea is to just. They had the permits, or they had permission to put that access road in on the adjacent property. Let me get to the exhibit here.
Yeah, the access road on the adjacent property was already existing, but then they had to extend it, and that's where they got into the 20% slopes to get to the site where the holding tanks were to be located.
Okay, I'm looking at the exhibit. 2-3. We have an existing drive coming off on the lot 44.
Correct.
And so they extended that drive toward the lake.
Yes, and that's where they got into the steep slopes.
Okay, so this is where the issue.
Correct. If we didn't have those steep slopes, if it wasn't in the shoreline area, we wouldn't be concerned about the extension or the earth disturbing that happened.
Is this an oversight by their part or the contractors? Or?
I don't think they were aware that special exception permit was required to put in this access to get to the holding tank site. They knew that the holding tank that was there needed to be replaced. I believe it was a sealed tank and it had failed. So they got the permits to do that, but they should have come for the special exception permit prior to doing that.
So they didn't need a special exception permit to put in an additional tank?
No. There was probably grading on the north property as well to get to the site.
Yeah, so it had an existing drive, and so just that part there was access, which shown as access used to get down to the tanks. And so
right.
Now, the question I have, to have permission, would it be owner of lot 44, would they have to get the permit?
The special exception permit?
Yeah.
I guess anyone could act as agent for this project.
Okay.
I was out on the city.
And you didn't advise them that there was a floor issue?
Well, I came, the work had already been done by the time I got there. The tanks were set. So before I did that, I came back to the office to check and see if perhaps a filling and grading permit had been issued. And then we found that there wasn't one, and then they were notified that a special exception permit was required.
So were they directed to replace the failed holding tank by the county?
I don't know if we required that or if the tanks, I can't remember if the tanks had already failed and they just came in for permits for them, or if it was a result of the inspection program that was going on at steel tanks. I don't recall that.
And the tanks are beyond the 75-foot setback?
Yes. Actually, a septic system would have to be at least 50 feet back from the water.
Sounds like you're saying that people weren't aware of the need for special exception permits. Does that include the contractors? When they're done working that area as well?
That's my impression.
And in your presentation, you said that there was a landscaping permit in the past as well for that area below the holding tank.
Yes, there was a special exception permit issued to the landowner for landscaping back in there.
That's the landowner or to the neighbor?
To the landowner. The neighbor also had a couple of filling and grading permits issued for work that he was doing along the shoreline, but he didn't have the deep slopes or that area that required a special exception.
Looks like, looking at exhibit 2-6, that's the plan from Lakes Mason. And that didn't show any access, and that doesn't show lot 44.
Yeah, well, that was the plan that was submitted for the site plan that was submitted for the holding tank.
Right. Right. There wasn't anything shown on this Lakeview plan that showed an access on lot 44.
Correct. Actually, that showed a different location for the holding tank proposed as opposed to where it actually went in. It went in off the deck, off the west corner, or I guess that would be the east side of the house.
That's the holding tank location. Okay, well, I guess that's our issue. Our greeting. Any other questions?
Oh, this is a general one. What steps is Sauk County Planning being taken to sort of minimize the number of projects that are done before permits are issued? I know this one's a little bit of a gray area, but it seems like it seems to be getting.
One thing that we're going to try to do with any landscaping plans or plans for any work up around Lake Redstone is to go out and physically inspect that site prior to issuing any permits to try to avoid this type of situation to start with.
Is there any kind of regular communication
I know we get calls all the time regarding projects in the shoreline area, and we do have brochures and send out copies of ordinance that are relevant in that area, but sometimes it does slip through the cracks.
So you just do it when people request?
Correct.
How many steel holding tanks or septic tanks have to be replaced around Lake Crestville? Do you know as a result of this recent investigation?
I believe there were we had records of 300 permits issued for steel tanks, both septic tanks and holding tanks. And already, I'd say about half of those had already failed and been replaced. And of the remainder, I think about 80% of those inspected were found to have failed and are in the process somewhere. You're either getting the permits or have been replaced.
So there's a huge number. But, yeah, that's a significant number. And they're all located near the lake, and some of them probably need special exception permits. I mean, there's no way you can replace those without some type of grading taking place or excavation. And all of those people receive special exception permits for filling and grading?
Just for the replacement of the tank, generally, no. But it's when you're talking about filling and grading for an access. I mean, the tank itself, if you can get the backhoe to it, it's a matter of digging a hole, dropping a tank in, covering it up, and it's done within a few hours.
But the act of getting the tank to the hole and the old tank out of the hole, unless they bring in helicopters and can levitate, over the side there's going to be some grading taking place. Is that correct?
Not always, but that is something that we're going to have to go out and determine.
Okay.
Yes.
In this case, Dave, if the homeowner had a pipe for this permit, for this grading stuff before he put the tank in, in order to get the tank in, do it properly in this location, he would have to do the grading, correct?
Correct. But as I said on the site plan that was submitted, they originally were proposing to put the tank just off the existing driveway, not down behind the deck. I don't know why that decision was made to put it in a different location. It may have had something to do with where the lateral was coming out of the house. I don't know.
I'm wondering whether because we have a soil evaluation report, exhibit 2-5, it was done by David Phillips. And so is that, or we're looking at 2-6, is that the old existing site with the pump chamber proposed, the pump chamber, or is that what was put in there initially? Because I'm looking at 2-9 to 2-11 that shows the holding tank site, and that was done by David Phillips. Maybe that would be cleared up by
Lexley's do have a representative here. Maybe he can clear that up.
Is 2-6 the original proposal that planning and zoning received for the replacement, and then 2-11 represents what actually happened?
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
Well, 2-11 shows the site plan of what was actually done. Whether or not that came in with, I think that came in with the permit for the replacement, so it must have been revised from the soil test 2-6 to the actual site plan was proposed 2-11.
Well, see if we put it up to the. Okay, let's.
One more question. Good question.
Yeah.
Is the contractor, does he work in this area on a regular basis?
Yes, both the plumbers and the excavator work in that area.
Would they not know they needed that permit
I'm not aware of the plumbers previously having gone through this process.
Well, it seems to me like the contractor should be aware that of where they need a permit for the 20% slope. Was there any citation issued?
I don't believe there was a citation issued. I believe that we contacted them and told them they needed to come apply for the special exception permit. If they had not complied with trying to get the special exception permit, then citations would have been issued.
Yeah, again, I'm looking at this 2-6, and they got drywall, 6-foot diameter. Hard to read that. Septic tank inlet elevation, and then they have proposed holding tank location. I'm thinking that the site plan conflicts with 2-6 was actually what was in the ground. And that was
that would have been what was in the ground and what they proposed based on the soil test when they went out
right
there.
That's what right. I'm I want to see if we can get that cleared up. Right. Any other questions today? Take it out. Can the applicant come forward? Please raise your right hand. You swear to tell the truth as best you can knowledge?
Yes, sir.
Raise your name, your address.
Shea Gepkers, 625 Granite Avenue, Reedsburg, Wisconsin, 53959.
You are representing?
I'm Shea Gepkers from Blakely, representing Blakely and Dave Cannon
okay.
as well, and actually Jim Noga as well, which is the north property.
Okay. What would you like to tell us?
Well,
can you straighten this out?
Yeah, again, I'm pretty sure. Our process started with the milk tank inspection program. Mr. Cannon called and got the letter from the county, had to do an inspection. We went and did an inspection. That was the first sheet that you asked about 2-4.
2-4?
Yep. Upon that being done, it was found that his drain field failed fast inspection and his metal holding tank was leaking, potentially contaminating groundwater and Lake Redstone. Okay? And that was in September of 08. The next step in the process, before you can go up and install, you can't just go out there and install a septic system, you have to do a soil test, which tells us what type of system can you put in a mound, conventional, holding tank, whatever. So that's what the exhibit to clarify this, 2-5 and 2-6 in the soil test has nothing to do with the plan of what was to be done. That's a document that's done that explains to the owner and gets recorded at the county as to what we can possibly do with that site. So that drawing is just what you said, is what was there, and at that time of the soil test, the proposed tank location was an idea that we had come up with. Okay. Between the soil test and meeting with the owner multiple times and sending a plan into the county, it was basically determined that this putting a holding tank where it shows on 2-6 was not cost effective and hardly possible because of access, because there's a steep ravine on that side of the house as well. So after the soil test, I came up with the idea to meet with the owner who had the access on the north lot to replace, to take out the metal tank and replace it with the two holding tanks with using the lot to the north. That's where the thought process went from the first picture to the second. What was submitted to the county for permits starts at 2-7 through 2-11. And 2-11 is the plot plan that was submitted as to what our plan was, which as you can see is two holding tanks, and then they are too far away from the driveway, and with the elevation difference, they have to put a suction line and a sump pump in as well. The object here was to get as much holding capacity as we could so that he could go, say it was wintertime on these steep lots, that he can go a month or two or three without having to pump his tanks. That was the reason for putting in two tanks versus one. There was no possible way to get a tank vehicle, tank truck behind that house. So what we had to do was carry in the septic tanks half at a time to the backhoe, bring them down the hill and set them. And that is where the disturbance of the ground access that we're here about, that's where that came into play. It wasn't that we necessarily built the driveway or changed anything, but by tracking in and out of the backhoe, taking a tank and then a cover and then hauling out a cover, disturbed the soil. So instead of just leaving the trees and the leaves and stuff, we did a, tried to do a real nice job and raked it all out by hand, put the fabric mat and seeded it. So it almost looked like we disturbed more area than we really did, but it looked nice and it's holding well. That was kind of the process, so to speak, of how this whole thing happened. And when it was installed was later in the year, I believe it was, the inspection date was October 8th.
What year was that?
2016. So we were also running into some time constraints due to weather. To work on a site like this in December, November, and January would be probably impossible. So that was the reason. And we were unaware that a cylinder grading permit would be needed to track down and install these tanks on this lot. And like David said, and you guys have said, it's kind of a gray area. I mean, technically you can actually install a mound system on greater than 20% slope. You need a special exemption permit for that. So it's a little gray, and with some oversight, I guess we'll take responsibility for that part of it. That's why I'm here. That's why we did all the legwork to get this stuff put together. The bottom line is the tank was failed in gluten, and now it's not. And it has stayed well. I actually went up there yesterday to look at it, because I know that we'll work both with Dave to make sure that there is no erosion. And quite honestly, if there is erosion, the first people complaining will be the landowner or the neighbor. So I found the same thing that he found. All it really needed to be is around the outside edge of the tank, and it settled approximately 6 to 8 inches. And then I'll have to be filled in by hand. Obviously, we're not going to take a machine back there that we have grass catch in the tank.
So the existing drive, I'm looking at 2-3. So there was the existing drive, that was all existing, and basically you brought it in on lot 44 down there, and essentially you didn't build the driveway per se, but you had something to track, you could get a payloader down there, whatever you use.
An excavator, a clean arm excavator. And that's exactly right. By the time we went up and down that hill, approximately 10, 15, 20 times, made a path that needed to be fixed. And we didn't haul in gravel and make a driveway, and it seeded back the lawn. There's not a driveway there now, except for the existing part, which that's when the Lot 43 owner did his work that they referred to, that's how they got in there, was on my picture there. If you follow that existing driveway all the way down to the lake and then back across over to the Lot 43.
What kind of vegetation was removed?
Was removed?
Yeah.
Not a lot. Some brush. No large trees. A couple small tree saplings and stuff. And it was mostly just to clean it up so there wasn't a half-dead tree backyard.
The way it's set up now is the two tanks, they'll only have to probably pump it in the early summer after spring dries up, and then late fall, so then it's going in the winter, right?
Correct.
How did you get in there to pump, how the truck, the pumping truck going to get in there to pump off? You
got
to take that half that you made on the...
No, it's Exhibit 2-3. If you just took a quick look at that, that's one example of it. The existing drive on Lot 43 is blacktop all the way to the lot line, to the property line of Lot 43 and 44. So that's a blacktop driveway that the cover truck will back down into, and then that circle right below, right by the property line, is where that suction port is with that switch on it.
All
right, so you sit right on the driveway.
I understand.
That's the switch.
Thank you.
So he's got his own built-in pump there.
Yeah, he has to, because
Kind of you're not going to let them in your truck.
Yeah.
Or if you do, they'll start to run away.
Yeah. I can relate.
And the reason for those two tanks where they're at now, there isn't anywhere else to put.
Not even, we tried everything.
Any other questions? Right, thank you.
Thank you for your time.
All right. Individuals favor, I invite the speak to the committee now. Individuals opposed are invited to speak. And individuals that interest may appear are invited to speak. Hearing none, this will close this portion of the hearing. Motion to deliberation.
I would make a motion to grant the special exception permit. Building and grading.
We have a motion to accept.
I would second that. I don't think we have really a choice.
No.
I think we had a property owner who was complying to the ordinances and making good faith efforts to comply. And we had a contractor that was doing the best he could to get the job done. And in the process of that, he made some wheel marks. And he tried to make it right. I wonder how many more of these we're going to be dealing with as a result of replacement of septic and holding tanks.
I think I would make a comment that planning and zoning is going to have to look at the tank argument that maybe they're requiring or maybe replace that they look at the results and advise the landowner of any potential so that we won't
have a procedure or something in the application that addresses that issue in the application.
That's right.
Any further comments? I would agree that it's unfortunate that it had to come before us and drag out this long, but I'm very glad we got it straightened out. We have a motion before us in a second to approve the special exception permit to authorize building grading on those more than 20% with the conditions proposed by or recommended by Fall County Planning and Zoning. Any further discussion? Call a vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passed. Great. Next case.
Dave Lorenz, Sauk County Planning and Zoning. This request is to modify the conditions imposed on a previous special exception permit that was granted in 2008 for an agricultural-related business. The property is located in the exclusive agricultural zoning district on real estate described as part of the southwest quarter of the northwest quarter of Section 20, Pound 12 North, Range 3 East, in the town of Ironton. The permit was issued in 2001 for an addition to the house, which is across the road from this location, and for an at-grade septic system and a privy. Previous appeals, SP-2008 was issued for an agriculture-related business, which included an existing harness shop and an auction barn, and that was granted with conditions. There have been no citations recorded at this location. Back to the case. When reviewing the special exception proposal and change in land use, the Board of Adjustment looks at several criteria, including promoting public health, safety, and general welfare. Whether there are constraints to development and impacts to surrounding properties, and if the proposed use is consistent with local and county development plans and codes. Section 7.05B, parent 2, parent B, 5 of the Sauk County Zoning Ordinance provides that a special exception permit is required for an agricultural-related business. Properties to the north are agricultural fields and forested lands. To the south are two residents, one residence belongs to the applicant. East, Car Valley Cheese Factory and the forest lands are located to the east and to the west. Smelter Road and one residence approximately less than 1/4 mile from the site and surrounded by agricultural properties. There is no floodplain indicated on this parcel. There are no mapped wetlands indicated in this area. The property is located within the Shoreland Protection District. There is a little creek to the west, and so any work that they would do would have to comply with Chapter 8 of the Sauk County Ordinances. I could direct the board to take a look at the photographs, the exhibits 5, 1, and 2. Photo number 1, that shows the harness shop and the auction barn on the west side of Baroo Road. This photograph would be taken from the north looking south. Photo number 2, that's looking north from the intersection of Baroo and Seltzer Road of the auction barn. And photo 3, that's the site that's seen from the west, that is in taken from the yard of the one residence on Smelter Road. And photo 4, that's a closer view of the harness shop, which would be located in the building closer to the location, and then the auction barn. And if we could start the video, please. That's the auction barn, as seen from the Rue Road. This is looking to the south. And this is panning around to the east side of the road at the applicant's home. That's looking to the north. And the harness shop is located in that building, and the auction barn is just to the south. The original conditions were that there was to be no parking on Rue Road, and that it would, the auctions would be limited to farm-related items only. At the time this report was written, the town of Ironton has not yet responded, but they have responded since that time, and it should have been included with the packet. As exhibits
4-2,
4-2, 4-3, and 4.
Yeah, that was a handout that was on the table. And you're right.
The planning and zoning would recommend, the planning and zoning department does not feel that the sale of household goods meets the definition of an agricultural-related business, but that's for the board to decide. Planning and zoning recommends that the following conditions be considered by the board should the board choose to grant the request for changes to the special exception permit. A, all work on and use of the premises shall proceed with the plans and supplemental evidence presented at the hearing. It is the responsibility of the applicant to secure all required town, state, federal, and county permits within 1 year of the hearing date. County permits required for this approval include land use permits. The permit shall remain in effect for the duration of special exception permit SP 2008, which is due to expire October 3, 2013. C, the permit shall be non-transferable. D, the applicant shall provide notice to Sauk County Planning and Zoning 10 days prior to the date of a pending auction. And E, Sauk County Planning and Zoning should be granted permission to view the site to ensure compliance with these conditions and other relevant provisions of the Sauk County ordinance. Power to ensure compliance with these conditions is given to Sauk County Planning and Zoning. If the department finds that any of these conditions have been violated, they are hereby authorized to take corrective action, including the shutting down of an auction with the assistance of the Sauk County Sheriff's Department, as well as through suspension of the permit, citations, or by any means of enforcement that is within their power.
Any questions for Dave?
In the zoning ordinance, where would the planning and zoning part be operational like this one, like the component that are more appropriate?
Well, it was the department felt that the sale of household goods should be a commercially zoned site.
So then the consequence of that would be
if it was zoned commercial, then retail sales would be a permitted use.
So is there really no zoning district that sort of gets at the limits that are proposed here for the self-imposed?
Well, the only conditions that can be imposed are really by the board.
What the town's comprehensive plan says in terms of businesses area?
I'm not familiar with it. I know that the town has agreed to allow parking on Baruch Road except on one side, but not from the barn south to Smelser Road.
That's not my question. I was asking specifically about the comprehensive plan, whether this matches the town's comprehensive plan to the best of your knowledge.
I don't know. The town is here today, you could probably ask that.
In the previous permit, that restricted parking on the road, what were the reasons behind that?
At that time, that was a request that the town had made as far as conditions that the board could impose. They did not want there to be any parking along the road, town roads.
So they've changed their position.
That's my understanding.
Questions? Yeah, trying to relate, the parking is one thing, but the sale of household goods is what you're proposing, and the township doesn't have a problem with that.
The board feels that meets the criteria of an ag-related business.
Okay.
section is that?
Section 4 of the who's the negative person.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
And that's page 25, at least in my edition.
Okay.
Right here, standards for granting. So I'm looking for the same standards for granting them.
Come forward. You swear to tell the truth, raise your right hand. You swear to tell the truth to the best of your knowledge.
Yes.
Please state your name and your address.
Eddie Gingrich, S3860 Brew Road, Waddell, Wisconsin.
Okay, what would you like to tell them?
Okay, we'd like to have a special exception for a parking lot on the west side of the road. That means people come in and there's, and I guess it was after me for, they think you got to park on the road and we was trying to keep them off. So the town board got to us and they said they accept that as a special exception. And they also, and there is causing little problems in about these household items. We don't want no electric appliance. There's a few items that are kind of on the antique side that our people use. They're hard to find. You can't really buy them new to eat anymore. The people bringing them out, they want to sell them. And which is just about 3 or 4 items. They're very many of them items. So we'd like to have a special exception for that. Otherwise, and for electric appliance and washers and stuff like that, refrigerators, we don't want them.
How many options do you have here?
Three.
But
we don't want these household items in the May and September sale. We don't want them in March.
And then how do you assemble your goods for the auction? This is sort of various people bring them in, and then you go up for an auction process?
Yeah.
Local people or?
Mostly, yeah. Mostly just kind of helping in the community out.
Your permit actually allows you to have 4 options, but you only have 3.
Yeah, and you're limited from March 15th to October 15th.
Yes.
Which gets you out of the snow season.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I hope so.
If you're trying to remember why it was limited, no household goods, was that something that was at the ownership? Had an issue with at the time?
The only thing was it sold for agriculture. Then it can come up about that. You got to have a special exemption permit, and then we didn't want that. Some commercial, we didn't want that. So that's kind of where that just kind of fell apart then.
Now you talk about household goods. Are we talking mattresses? I mean, there's a lot of things that are non-electrical.
Well,
soon keep the mattress out if we can, but you know how it is going to be.
I'm talking big items.
Yeah. And that's kind of, it's hard to make a line on some of that stuff, but if we can keep the electric appliance out, we thought we can keep it smaller. Like, I don't know, we hardly ever had any mattress or not that it show up.
Well, what I'm driving at here is that you see no electrical wholesale items, but then you have a guy that's trying to unload, for instance, I've got 10 mattresses that I can't sell, or, you know, I might be new, you know, fire from Reedsburg or from Laval that says, well, I got household items, they're not electrical, I'll bring them over to you and sell. So where then it becomes more of a commercial.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I know that, yeah. That's the problem we kind of run into a little bit, too. We didn't know how to handle it the best that way.
Would it be prudent to put the condition that has to be non-electrical personal items as opposed to commercial items? I mean, how, I guess, would we address that?
I guess one question I have is, who come to the auction, the first item, where do they, other times of the year, other than the two or three times that they come to your place to purchase, find goods that they need to live? I mean, is yours the only facility in the area? I'd be surprised if that's the case.
Yeah, some of them think they just can't hardly find. They're waiting on these auctions.
So this would be more of a community swap.
Yeah.
Question on the parking. If you walk, if there's quite a bit of land around the farm, is there not enough sufficient space to create a parking area so that there wouldn't need to be any parking on the road?
It is in some conditions, but sometimes it gets a little soft. And some of these vehicles that's just wheel drive, you got no problem. And that's where it was pushing me. I might, no, hopefully, like May and September, it should be dry. Hopefully, they be more off the road.
Well, I guess that's something that, from the standpoint of the township, and they, you know, they don't have a problem with it. I don't know what we really need to. Right now, we have a special exemption permit that prohibits parking on the road.
Right. The ordinance is pretty clear on that off-street parking. So.
The county.
Yes, yeah.
And this is an exclusive ag district.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And if you look at the purpose, the spirit, whatever, you know, you try to figure out what did the board have, the county board have in mind when they created this ordinance, and their intent is there on the purpose of 7.05B of an exclusive ag district. This district provides for the preservation and maintenance and enhancement of quality agriculture, forestry, natural areas for the benefit of farm operators and general public in terms of production of food and fiber and environmental quality. And so that seems to be the spirit in which these ordinance was written. And then they talk about agricultural related businesses, including but not limited to farm implement dealers, feed mills, fertilizer dealers, stockyards, fuel alcohol spills, veterinary services, and sawmills located in the same premises for more than 10 days. So, and then there's the parking issue. That's covered in this ordinance. And if, you know, if the town board wants to be more permissive, then the county ordinance allows, I don't think that trumps, we're beholden to the county ordinance. And I think the parking issue is huge, and, you know, to allow non-ag related commodities to be sold there, I mean, where do you stop once you dip beyond the ag related items? I think that the ordinance is pretty strong, but the county board, it's going to be very difficult for this board, I think, to allow it. Unless we completely disregard county ordinance. And I don't think we should or can do that.
Yeah. Anything else you
want to
tell us?
Not really, but I got my town chairman here as I can speak here.
All right. Those individuals that are in favor are invited to speak. On up. Raise your right hand. You swear to tell the truth and the best of your knowledge?
I do.
Here's your name and your address.
Terry Smelser, F4516 County Road G, Laval, Wisconsin. I'm also the town chairman of the town of Ironton. In Danny's request here a couple of years ago for this permit, we were not able to be here at that meeting at that time. And as far as when you granted the permit, it was the board's, as far as the parking on the road, for their decision to not have the parking on the road. We did not have anything to say about that part of it at the time. We did not say anything, if I remember right. I've got a personal question on this. If the county ordinances restrict auctions as far as parking on roads, any auction that I've been to, they always park on the road, along the road. They park in the field because sometimes they're limited. In Danny's situation, he does have a flat. We did have some issues here. When he first had his first auction, they parked on both sides of the road, and I was down there at that auction at that time, and there was stopping on the road, unloading cattle and things on the road, and I went up there and told him, I said, you can't be doing this. And then they also blocked off Meltzer Lane, and the resident could not get to her household. And that was because I was called right away at home when I received the call. And which I can support that as not parking on Meltzer Lane. And in the grant, issuing of this at this point in time and ending this, we looked at the site, I did personally, as far as parking from the barn up to Smelter Lane. That's a siting issue, the reason that the board did not grant that part of it if you get to park on the road. And I understand that the county does not allow parking on the road, but how many auctions that I've been to, there's parking on every road. And I don't know how the county can do that. And as far as the town board's feeling, we don't have a problem with parking on one side of the road because emergency vehicles have to get through. And I was not at the last auction that Danny held, but my understanding there was no vehicles on the road because I asked a few questions to some people that attended it, and there was none there. Did have an incident that I was informed of at the last auction that he did have a track sort of for horses for people, because there are people like to try out the horses before they buy them. And supposedly, what I was told, there wasn't enough room for parking down in the field, so a few of them took them out on the road. Well, we had an incident, and I know Carol Holmes here today, I don't think he's talking about that maybe, but auctions, it's a needed thing as far as any farmer that has an auction, there's probably going to be a lot of them because of the farm economy. And in relation to the auction on your household items, when you have a farm auction, there's always household items on there. And I know we're exclusive to ag, but is this going to set a precedent as far as household auctions, I mean, not exclusive household, but farm auctions, are they going to, how is this going to get known if they don't allow some household items? And I understand that there is, you're allowed one auction a year, when I was told from the county. You don't have any permits for or anything like that, and I understand that's why Danny had to come and get these permits, because he's holding more than one auction. But my question is, too, is are they going to regulate the one auction a year as far as household items? And the issue on the parking, I guess that's the biggest question. We did set up some no parking signs. We tried that on one side of the road before. Well, the people disobeyed them. They pushed them over. They pulled them out. They parked on both sides of the road. And I believe that's what was Carol's statement at the last meeting, because I read some of the notes from it when you granted the permits, and that's why the conditions were put on no parking. I did not realize that there was an ordinance for the county that said no parking on the road. I don't know how Danny's going to handle the situation as far as there's always the people that break the laws. I don't know how you're going to enforce that. It's not our responsibility to take care of parking problems in the township. It's responsibility, I feel, is the auction company that does it and also the Sauk County Sheriff's Department that enforce this. As a township, as far as the items, as far as being sold for household, we didn't care if the household items were sold. Because we looked at it as other auctions are being held for one auction a year that have household items on them. And I understand their community do have special items that are gas-powered as far as cooling refrigerators and freezers and things like that, which is a specialty item. And not saying that there would not be electric items being brought in, because there is other common people that bring items in. That's about all I have to say. If you got any questions?
A couple questions and an observation. One is, do you see a difference between an auction business and somebody having an auction in terms of
in my eyes, I've been to both. And as far as Danny's, I've been to two or three of his auctions just to observe and things. There's not a lot of difference.
As far as how that's treated in a community?
Yeah, probably, because one auction a day, you get any problems that are done and over with in one day, where his is a continuing auction where if a problem comes up, it's another thing that the neighbors look at. And yes, I can see that possibly being a problem. But I will say one thing, Danny is trying. I will say that. Trying to do what he's supposed to do, but there's certain things that crop up that he can't get a handle on yet. As things go on, I know there's auction barns that hold auctions in the state continuously. We limited to 4 years of board, and we put the time frames in from March 15th to October 15th. I did notice, though, that in the spring, in his March auctions, there's generally, like you said, problems with snow, problems with the ground being not firm. You have put in a driveway, a gravel driveway, to try to help at least get through the auction or whatever. But the spring auction is going to be, one in March, is going to be the biggest problem, I feel.
The other thing, part of this zoning district was created, at least my understanding is, it was created so that farmers could take advantage of a tax credit, farmland preservation tax credit program, and it came along with, you know, the goal of keeping a farming area farming. I understand that this is not a gigantic impact, proposed use is not a gigantic impact, but that's a reality for your town, that your town chose to part of this uses ordinance, and I suspect that there's now some additional incentives for farmers participate in farmland preservation coming down the pipe very soon, and I would assume there'll be some those regulations also to
was in.
It was for clarification.
Okay.
And then as far as back to a question I asked earlier, does Tom Anderson have the comprehensive plan? And how does your comprehensive plan deal with businesses in rural areas as opposed to villages or the populated centers that you have?
Okay, in our plan.
Other than I have a problem with it.
Okay, in our plan, we did not address auctions itself. We, at the time we wrote the plan, Danny had one or two auctions, and they never addressed this issue. But we do have a commercial zoning around each of the town, Village of Ironton, Village of Lime Ridge, Village of Casanova, a quarter mile out for commercial. As far as spot commercial, according to the county's ordinance, that wouldn't happen out here in the middle of nowhere, which I can understand that. We're promoting agriculture. That was in our mission statement, in our comprehensive plan, to promote agriculture. And this is part of agriculture, what Dan is doing. And I understand the appliance part of it is. But I that's really brought my personal question. You know, we have one auction. Are we going to regulate one auction too, or?
No one's talking about that.
Yeah.
Talking about it.
Other than the complaint from the one neighbor lady that got blocked out of her driveway, is there any other complaints?
Yes.
How many?
Basically from that address, and then Earl here too also, he probably will speak. And he told me, and maybe he'll address some of that, and there is a couple of incidences there that was, I can understand why they would have been upset.
And reading in the ordinance here, the cottage, under cottage industry, they have off-street parking shall be provided, will be provided in accordance with the section, but the
cottage industry involves cottage that you're able to generate from the ground.
Pardon?
A cottage industry.
Right. Trying to find where that off-street parking is evident. All right.
Previous ground page 20.
Page 22.
Probably about 10 miles.
Pine Ridge is probably
your closest municipality, and it's at least 2 miles, maybe a little bit further, 2.5.
All right. You're looking for our street parking here on page 24, sub F. Yeah, that's a runner, cottage industry, but it also applies to.
Linda Burleski, and I'm here on for myself. My address is E6248 Lane Drive in Reesburg, Wisconsin. And I didn't actually come to speak on this one. I'm speaking on another one. But I have been to Danny's auctions before. I actually consigned something through him, and I've actually purchased things. And I think I can clarify a couple of the issues that Mr. Warnicki had asked. The first thing is Danny does provide a very good service if you want to keep Sauk County rural, because the thing I consigned was a billy goat. How odd, but I like billy goats. I raise sheep too. So anyway, I had a little billy goat. My options were I could take it to Richland Center and probably get $5 for it, and it was a year old. I could ship it to Johnson Creek and get a good price for it, but now I've got over 100 miles of trucking to pay for. And I could take it to Danny and take the chance of, you know, having a buyer there, which there was someone in their community that could use it, and he went to a very good home, and I got a nice price. So it's something that their community uses and also our people use if we have maybe one or two animals. You know, when I ship 50 lambs to Johnson Creek, then it's profitable to me to hire a tractor and go down. But in an instance where I have one or two, you know, Danny really provides a service. As far as the parking issue, I wasn't to the sale where there was no parking on the highway, but I can see that would be very constraintive if you wanted to drive horses in that, because, you know, we went to Waverly, Iowa, International Horse Sales, and that's one thing. They always want you to try the teams out. You want to know if somebody's consigning a Greenbrook team or a Wellbrook team. You can tell if you see them hit. You don't want to pay good bucks for a well-broke horse team and then have it be something that hasn't trained and you have to put that money into it. The one I went to, there was parking on the road. I also can sympathize with Danny if he gets a rainy day or something and he's having them park in a hayfield that he wants to use, it will totally ruin it. You'll have cars getting stuck, and so I can understand the issue of the parking. The one thing you were talking about, household items, and some of the household items that I would maybe go to purchase at this auction, they have such a thing as like a butter churn, but it's not the stamper butter churn that you think of. It's a glass jar that has like a egg beater top on it, makes wonderful butter and things like that. A sausage grinder, a tabletop grain mill is something they use. I could purchase these items, but I would have to send to Lehman's store in Ohio for it, or Hirschberger's store in Pennsylvania, and have to pay the shipping and handling, which, you know, it would be a brand new item. But I could go to Danny's, and if they had this item there, I could see what it was. I could possibly purchase at a, you know, a lesser price. And, you know, something I wouldn't use all the time, but if I do grow my own wheat or whatever, I may want to do that. So that's what I would maybe purchase there. That's what I'm looking at as a household, you know, thinking is what he's interpreting as a household item. So that's my 2 cents.
Any question?
Well, I guess I would agree with you. A butter churn would be an egg-related product. I wouldn't have an issue with that.
Mm-hmm. But that's something they would consider as a household item, I would believe that.
Thank you. Anybody else would like to speak in favor? Line up.
Bob Nelson, E9390, Highway P, Wisconsin Dells.
Okay, what would you like to tell us?
Pardon?
What would you like to tell us?
Well, I'm really concerned with the road. Every time I've been the auctioneer on that sale, ever since he started 7 years ago, we've always had somebody out in the road keeping the road open. We're only asking for one side of the highway, not both sides. And I still keep somebody out there to keep them from blocking up the highway. And the horses go, Danny's built a nice track for them horses, but some of them go out on the road, I'll admit, but not very many. And the first incident we've had in 7 years was this year. A horse ran over Carol's mailbox. The next day we put him a new mailbox in. And we put up signs, we put a cone in front of his house, and the people on Seltzer, that happened 1 year when they drive, parked in front of her driveway. Now we put a cone. We do everything possible to try to make that safe. In 7 years with all the horses and the people, that's pretty good for one small incident. I carry insurance on it anyway. Well, one party, I think it was Carol, said we had too many horses and too many people. I've been an auctioneer for 47 years. I've never had too many people or too much merchandise. And I don't think anyone else has. And you can't see the horses from the road anyway. The horses are advice of the barber. And I called Captain Chip Meister from the South County Sheriff's Department. He comes out once, at least once, during that auction to see if the road is open. I've never got a complaint from him, and I'm sure you can check that out.
How would you compare this to other individual auction sales, one-time auction sales, in terms of?
Well, they're a little different because it's in an Amish neighborhood. You have a lot of horses. You don't have that many cars. The problem we would like for the highway is for trucks. Some of the big trucks can't turn around in our parking lot. Eddie has built a nice parking lot for them. But like you say, if you get bad weather, or like one time they had 13 inches of rain in 24 hours, well, no parking lot would take that. But that's the difference. It's mostly horses and cattle. And like the lady said, goats, sheep, animal-related items, hobby farmers, or Amish that farm with horses. We don't have a lot of cows and stuff like that.
It's more geared more toward the Amish and the small
right.
scale
yep.
individual as opposed to more commercial.
More things that appeal to him like the horses.
You know, sell the whole herd of cows or something like that.
Oh, I wish, but no, we don't.
All right. Any questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody would like to help to speak in favor? All right, we invite anybody to be like to speak opposed. Just come on up. Please raise your right hand. Be sure to tell the truth to the best of your knowledge.
Yes, I do.
State your name and your address.
This is Carl Holmes, 3842 Brewer Road, Laval, Wisconsin.
What would you like to tell us?
Pardon?
What would you like to tell us?
Well, I'd like to tell you that not that long ago that we had a commission meeting concerning this, and the board made a decision at that time to allow no parking on Seltzer Road or Brewer Road. I think they made the right decision. Danny's got about, must be 8 to 10 acres directly across from my house. It's an ample parking. He's got a track, as Mr. Melton said, that's laid down with gravel for the horses to run on. However, he couldn't use it this year because it's parked full of cars, trucks. So, they're all running the horses on the road. I came home on the day of that sale for an early dinner, and what I saw when I pulled my driveway was a horse laying upside down in my yard with a cart smashed up laying on top of it. My first reaction when I got out of my truck, I hollered, "Is anybody hurt?" There's about 30 Amish standing around that horse. And about 15 of them turned to look at me and nobody answered. I hollered out again, "Is anyone hurt?" And I got a few more to look at me and still no answer. Then I seen Mr. Nelson across the road on a golf cart. And on my third wave to him, he finally came over. At that point, I asked him, "Whose horse is that?" And he didn't know. Those Amishmen were asked, I think, twice more, and nobody knew. I'm assuming, had I not come home from early dinner, my mailbox had been smashed off, and nobody would have known a thing about it. I'd volunteer to pay for it. And I said, "No, it belongs to the guy that owns the horse." Finally, a fellow from Indiana came forward, and he owned the horse. Arrangements were made that he pay for the mailbox. Following day, the driver of that horse was putting in a new mailbox for me. I appreciate that, except that he put a mailbox in about half the size of what I had, just a cheap one. But I overlooked that. However, in the conversation, I asked him why he didn't use the track that was provided to try the horse out. He said, "Nobody told me anything about it." And he said, "Anyways, pull the cart." So that's the story of the mailbox. Brewer Road is a narrow road. The video doesn't do justice. There's not much for sure. shoulders on that road at all. Anywhere within Mr. Gingrich's property. When you allow parking on one side, you still have room for only one car to come down that road. You have no means for two cars to pass because there is no shoulder to get off on. I contend that it's not safe to have that parking there. They conduct a sale with merchandise on both sides of the road. In your video shown, the dooryard at the house is full of stuff. They sell baked goods out of a garage up there. They've got horses and cattle and machinery, cars, trucks, everything else being sold on the other side. That road is full of people both ways. The outdoor privies are on one side of the road. A better solution, in my opinion, would be to sell everything on one side of the road. Keep the people out of the road. Allow no parking on the road, which you gentlemen, I think, did the right thing in determining that. Those are just my opinions. Gordon and Sue Rockweiler had planned to be here today, but Gordon had a heart attack a few days ago, and he just came home from the hospital last night. Mrs. Rockweiler proposed a letter and she to this commission, and she sealed it and asked me to give it to you. I don't know what's in the letter or what her thoughts are, but I know she's adamantly opposed to any parking on the road also.
You said they're selling cars, they're auctioning cars there as well?
They're what?
They're auctioning cars there as well.
At times they've auctioned cars and tractors and whatever you want to mention, pretty much they sell it.
All right, I'm going to mark this as an exhibit. It would be 8-1.
I'd like to add that I did call the deputy out at the time of that accident. And the only reason I did that was the fact that if someone is hurt on your property, you better have a police report. And for that reason, I called the deputy out. That cost the taxpayers of the county money needlessly. When it comes to posting that road, patrolling that road, that cost our township money. But I just don't think it's necessary. This man has 8 or 10 acres that he can park on. If that's not enough, that 8 or 10 acres, he's got it to where it's good for pasture, and that's about it. Because he's got tracks through it, and gravel and everything, he certainly isn't going to plow it anymore. So if that's not enough parking area, he's got lots more land he can park on. I just don't see this parking on the road as even being a viable argument.
Right, we're going to read it, read a letter, and who's this from again?
Gordon and Sue Rockweiler.
Gordon and Sue Rockweiler, 2858 Melcher Lane, Lavelle, Wisconsin. And I'm going to read the letter. Read the record.
We have the Gordon and Susan Rockweiler family. See no need for parking on this road. The last details were good that we could get through. There's still some concession because of all the people and buggies that did not care. It's a very serious situation on Sunday night. Gordon had a heart attack, and luckily we were in Pittsburgh at the time. There would have been a sale at the time this happened, but the people parked along the road. The ambulance would not have picked him up or even up the phone. It could have been a life or death situation. My flight is canceled. So we feel that the need to make a living, but the vehicles parked on the road are not necessary. Also, the testing of running horses, buggies, wagons, etc. are still happening. There was also an incident on the Sherman property. Luckily, no one was hurt. Our understanding is that there is a track for that purpose. Why is it not being reported in this weather?
Any other questions?
Any more questions? Thank you. Anybody else would like to speak in opposition? Anybody would like to speak as interest may appear? I would like to ask Dave. And you're speaking in favor?
Right.
Fine. Okay. You state your name.
Carol found things a little twisty. He didn't even see me come up to the golf cart. I came right over there. The guy who was driving the horse did not own it. He asked him a couple times, and I said to him, tell him who owns the horse. He said, I don't know for sure, but it's a guy from Indiana. And a few minutes later, they got it. Now, the Amish told me the mailbox was identical to what he put up. He says a different size mailbox.
I think we don't need to argue the expectation.
Okay, but we do about the road. The road is kept open when we parked on both sides. I had somebody out in that road. And one incident where they had couldn't get in their driveway, I put cones on them. The morning of the sale was 6 o'clock in the morning, so that road is open. And it doesn't cost the cops, because the cops come out there anyway. I asked him, was it a special incident? He said, no, we patrol that anyway. That's part of the county.
All right, thank you. Anybody else would like to speak in any of the categories? Mark?
I guess to clarify a few things.
Mark?
Mark Stewart, Sauk County Planning and Zoning Director. The ordinance requires that they have off-street parking. And your ordinance on pages 47 and 48 and in these cases, page 49. It's 7.13, parent 6, talk about motor vehicles and parking. And that an off-street parking space is listed as 216 square feet of area. And parking is required, and they define it in several different ways based on various uses. Everything from roadside stands to theaters and churches to lodging houses, etc. And in the end, it states that any use not specifically named herein shall be assigned by the building inspector, which we won't go into why it says building inspector, for the most appropriate of the above classifications. So, not having determined any of these classifications, based on 216 square feet of parking area, and looking at air photos and doing a rough measurement, he's got, and I haven't looked at the plans if he's defined a specific parking area and given a square footage, but based on a half acre of land, you're looking at about 90 parking spots. But that would be without any roads in there. So if you put in some, paths for people to drive in, you're looking at 50, at least 50 parking spots that would be off street, based on a half acre. And looking at, through the air photos on this property. So, having said that, they have to provide, a path to get down there. I don't know if they've thought through to where the fact of, how they would park their spots in there, but our ordinance clearly defines that 216 square feet is provided per parking spot, and it would be on me to determine which use it would closely resemble. But based off square footage and half acre, they'd be looking at least 50 off-street parking spots. Mark? Yeah.
On my book, page 8 cottage industries.
Yeah.
And under cottage industries, it says off-street parking shall be provided.
Yep.
Does that extend to all of those, to also the ag-related businesses?
That actually falls under under three, apparent three, so on page 20, for me it's page 25, where it says height, yard, and area, and other requirements, letter G is off-street parking, and it says off-street parking shall be the same as required in section 7.13, parent 6.
Right. That's what mine says, but it's on a different page.
Right.
So that extends to?
Yes.
Yes.
The other uses.
The other uses.
All right.
And exclusive A.
Yes.
Okay.
So
we got.
So off-street parking is prohibited.
I wouldn't say it's necessarily prohibited. It's specifically outlined as that you have to provide off-street parking. From our standpoint, we can't regulate what's in the right-of-way. That's why we have setbacks to the right-of-way. Generally, the road either needs to be owned in fee or it's owned by the neighbors, or they own to the center of the road, where it's owned by the town. And in this case, I don't know where it sits, if it's just an easement cutting through there and the actual landowner actually owns to the center of the road. But we do not regulate inside there, and that's why we have setbacks to it. And so we provide off-street parking. Generally, it would be on the local municipality who maintains that road to determine what can happen in that. But our uses require off-street parking to a certain extent. So it's not necessarily prohibited, but it's not necessarily allowed.
Okay, so it's a township has some authority over that. Can or cannot be done, but you're requiring it to have off-street parking ordinance.
That's correct. I would hate this. I don't know. To my knowledge, we haven't been faced with the issue to where we've required, let's say, 5 off-street parking spots and then drove up and only using 1 and 4 people are parking on the road. To my knowledge, we haven't run across that, and if we did run across that, how would we issue that as a violation? They'd have to provide the parking where they park, ends up being a civil matter.
It seems to be an issue, and you wouldn't think it is, but it seems to be an issue in this case.
I think it's a major issue in this case.
You comment on the household goods issue in terms of the zoning of this and the
When this was originally presented, I think 2 years ago, it was presented as an ag-related business. And the thought was that those items to be auctioned would be ag-related, agriculture-related, so a product, machinery, things of that have basis to deal with the ag uses in the area. Right. And the comp plan does talk about, promoting, businesses or of this nature. In the rural area. It doesn't specify anything to auction, but the previous decision was made that no household items would be sold, it'd just be ag-related items.
The thing is, pinning it down, like I gave the example of ten mattresses that he signed them wholesale out and bring from the auction.
Mm-hmm.
That's a
slippery slope. That would be a household good, not an
ag-related item. Could auctioning cars be considered ag-related?
That's a good question. I would say, off the top of my head, probably not. I would think if, you'd be looking at auctioning implements, not necessarily, vehicles that are implements of ag practices, not necessarily taking my Pontiac out there and trying to get the best bang for my buck.
It would depend on if the truck is big enough to haul a calf in.
do you think, I mean, this doesn't help us today, but do you think that the county captain is planning on finished, and now you're working for ordinance changes, do you think that it's going to become clarification of broadening of the definition of agricultural use, because some people did talk about agricultural related or agricultural communities that didn't fit this strict definition?
I would think so. I would. We're also looking at agritourism as a use in these areas, so that either it's easier to get permits or that it's more specifically defined. So we'd be working along those lines. And a big segment of our ordinance rewrite is dealing with farmland preservation and the whole the new additions to Chapter 91 of the statute. So, not saying that the statute has better definitions of ag use, but we can work within that now to come up with hopefully better definitions of what's related to that.
So. Good. Any questions? Any more questions? So do we have anybody we'd like to speak in any of the three categories? Not hearing or seeing anybody, I will close this portion of the hearing. We move into the deliberation. I don't know why this should be such a sticky wicket, but it is.
Well, just a couple of comments. But first of all, I'm only one comfortable about, you know, allowing the household items, because it sounds like they're already auctioning other things besides household items. And giving them any more latitude seems to be giving them, well, wherever they want to go with this. I'm nervous about that. As far as the parking is concerned, I think our county ordinance is pretty straightforward on this. And I think those ordinances are in place to protect the rights of the rest of the people that live in that area. And we've already heard from those people that their rights have been violated.
Regarding the parking, I think if we do issue this special exception permit, just use the language that's in the ordinance that off-street parking shall be provided. And it's up to the owner to do that. They provide the off-street parking. People who attend there choose not to park off-street and park on-street. Then it is up to the township to prohibit parking on-street and issue citations for illegal parking. I mean, that's what townships do all over the place. It's on a town road. It's not a county road. If the county says, you know, if you're going to have this ag-related business, you have to provide off-street parking, and the owner provides it and they don't use it and park illegally, that's the way it works, whether you're in a city or a village or a township. Regarding the, I don't think if we issue this special exception permit, we should change the ag-related business portion of it to be more or less inclusive than what the ordinance says. If planning and zoning finds that they go out there and during a sale and they find some non-ag-related items and there are too many of them, issue a citation. What are we going to say? It's a hand washer that you pump with your feet and that makes it ag-related, or it's a gas-powered Maytag. And it's an antique, that's what they use back on the farm, therefore that makes it ag-related, and you get into an all fuzzy area there. I think we should just, if we issue the special exception permit, we go with the wording that's in the ordinance and leave it at that. And it's the township's problem with the parking use, not what they people want.
And that's the problem, is that we're trying to micromanage here.
We can't do that.
And, you know, I have an expression that I probably shouldn't say, but we're trying to define too closely, and I agree with you, Bob, in that here's what the ordinance says, and the argument has been made, well, they have auctions all around the township, or all around the county, where on a one-day basis, people park on the streets, on the roads, pure and simple. However, I don't think that relates to this, because this is a business that he has there. And business should provide the adequate facilities if he wants to run his business, according to the ordinance. I guess that's my take on it as well. Anybody else?
Your arguments are, I understand them, but if by granting this exception, potentially modifying the ordinance for all parking on the street. And I don't think that this ordinance was developed by planning and zoning and adopted by the county board. I don't think we can do that.
I agree. Yeah. Well, what I'm saying is that if a person is running a business,
I agree with you,
that he should have the facilities to run that business in accordance with the ordinance.
We wouldn't allow them to build a Walmart without putting a parking lot in.
Right. If somebody parks illegally out on 12, double parks on 12, walks across the parking lot and goes into Walmart and shops, they're going to get a citation for being illegally parked. And Walmart, even whether or not Walmart provides the parking, and the same thing, I think, in this case, if he provides the parking and people choose not to use it, they run the risk of getting a citation.
Right. I agree with you, but if we grant the permit, then we are saying they can't.
Yeah, the issue is that I and the previous permit of government.
I mean, it's a business related, it's an agricultural business related, or agricultural related business. Okay? If it was any other business, if it's a cheese factory, that's an agricultural related business. However, we don't give a special permit so that they can park off the road or on the road to go to that cheese factory and buy cheese.
This ordinance would apply. It says that they have to provide off street parking, and they do. But if somebody parks out in front of the Caravelle Cheese Factory in the middle of County Truck G, they're going to get, and they go in there to buy cheese, they're going to get a citation.
They're possibly,
should.
Right.
Are we in deliberation?
No.
Yeah. I move to deny the request for the special exception permit to modify the
So we have a motion the board deny the special exemption permit or modification or amendment to special exemption allow on-street parking and sale of non-agricultural household items at the auction park. It has been seconded.
So if this motion passes, the old special exception permit is still in effect.
That's correct.
Okay.
We'll call a vote. All in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Give aye positive vote. All right. Third case. Do I want to take a break here?
Yeah.
Oh, 5 minutes for break. Meeting 11:05. And Rita, would you read the next case? That's the 08.
Excuse me if I could address the board of the city of Baraboo. Their representative here has just asked that the board consider to postpone their appeal until next month. So everybody has a chance to read
properly noticed.
Okay, I guess we'll take that up at the moment here, and go off.
I would make a motion to postpone SP 05-10 until the May Board of Adjustment meeting.
All right, we have a motion and a second to postpone case number SP 05-05-10, the City of Fairview's application. Any discussion? All vote, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Okay.
Public notice is hereby given to all persons in the county of Block, Wisconsin, the public hearing to be held on April 29th, 2010 at 9 a.m. for a senior after as a matter may be heard in the county boardroom, South County Westfield Building, Fairview, Wisconsin, relative over verified in the South County Building or Dark House. Granted a special exception permit in section 7.05.2 and house and authorized private landfill. Property located in the agricultural zoning district on real estate strategy. Part of the southwest quarter, southeast quarter, section 19, on south north. For a key to phone page for a second person, 040-0717, on by radio 1-7. Revised the sentence.
Dave, would you come up?
Dave Lorenz, Clark County Planning and Zoning. This request is for a special exception permit to authorize the location and operation of a proposed private landfill. Property is located in the agricultural zoning district, real estate described as part of the southwest quarter of the southeast quarter, section 19, round 12 north, range 4 east, town of Reedsburg. Lands surrounding the site to the north, west, and east are all zoned agricultural, and the lands to the south are zoned exclusive agricultural. We have no record of land use permits or septic permits at this property. There was no record of any appeals to the Board of Adjustment for this property. There were no citations on record for this property. Section 7.05, paragraph 2, Aaron L. 10 of the Sauk County Zoning Ordinance provides that a special exception permit is required for public and private landfill sites. When reviewing a special exception proposal and change of land use, the Board of Adjustment looks at several criteria, including proponing public health, safety, and general welfare, whether there are constraints to development and impacts to surrounding properties, and if the proposed use is consistent with local and county development plans and goals. To the north is an existing mineral extraction site, and there are three residences within a quarter mile of the site. To the east is agricultural property and a farm and residence within a half mile of the site. To the west, agricultural properties and two residences within a half mile. To the south is agricultural and forested properties. There's no indicated floodplain on this parcel, and there are no wetlands indicated in the project area. I'd like to direct the board to take a look at the photographs, the exhibits 5, 1, and 2. Photo number 1 shows the gate at the entrance to the site. On the south side of Fish Pond Road. Photo number 2, that's at site looking east across the proposed private landfill site. Photo 3, yes.
I don't think we have those photos. Yeah,
they're not in order.
Oh, I'm sorry. Three is a view to the west across the site. And 4 is a view to the south. The site is was an old quarry at one time. I don't believe it's being utilized for that anymore at this time. Gina, if we could start the video, please.
That's the entrance, Fish Pond Road. It's an existing house and outbuildings, located right at that station. That's Fish Pond Road there. The mineral extraction site that's under in use is to the northwest. And that's looking at the grand entrance. This is the site itself. That's looking to the south. The old high wall of the mineral extraction site. This is panning back to the east. This is coming to the north. This would be looking at Fish Pond. You can't see this area from the road at all. It's well screened. And that's looking back to the west. That's where the entrance comes up. Looking back to the south, that's the area that they have proposed for the private landfill. Planning and zoning recommend that the following conditions be considered by the board should the board grant the special exception permit. A, that all work on and use of the premises shall proceed with the plans and supplemental evidence presented at this hearing, and it is the responsibility of the applicant to secure all required town, state, federal, and county permits within 1 year of the hearing date. County permits required for this approval would include a land use permit. The permit B, the permit shall remain in effect for 5 years and may be renewed by the board at that time. C, that the permit shall not be transferable. D, that all temporary access roads as well as permanent all-weather access roads on site shall be maintained in such a manner to eliminate any off-site soil erosion. E, the reclamation plans shall be submitted to and approved by Stock County Planning and Zoning prior to the operation or dumping of any materials. F, the financial assurance shall be submitted to planning and zoning at a rate of $1,500 per acre. The operation shall not commence until this is on file. G, that Ray Zobel and Sons are the only ones allowed to use to deposit or dump in this location. Any deposit dumping made by others constitutes a violation of the special exception permit, and the special exception permit shall be immediately revoked. Ray Zobel and Sons will be responsible for all cleanup required through the Department of Planning and Zoning, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, and any other county, state, or federal agencies as required by law. H, appropriate screening and reclamation shall be deployed and maintained to minimize the aesthetic impact of the landfill upon the neighbors and other members of the public. As part of this condition, Bowles shall submit the screening and reclamation plan within 60 days to the Sauk County Planning and Zoning Office for consideration and approval. I, that only clean, this would be non-toxic or non-hazardous fill is allowed at the site. Clean fill includes clean soil, brick, building stone, concrete, reinforced concrete, broken pavement, and unpainted and untreated wood. A, the permit boundaries of the landfill shall be clearly posted with no trespassing signs, and a lock 8 shall remain in place near the entrance of the landfill. A, the Ray Zobel and Sons shall submit proof to the Sauk County Planning and Zoning Office that all necessary permits are issued by the DNR and are in place. L, the Sauk County Planning and Zoning Office office shall be granted permission to view the site to ensure compliance with these conditions and other relevant provisions of the South County Codes. M, the authority to ensure compliance with these conditions is given to South County Planning and Zoning. If that department finds that any of these conditions is violated, they are hereby authorized to take corrective action, either through suspension of the permits, citations, or by any means of enforcement that is within authority.
Basically, we don't really have a plan as such.
Site plan?
Yeah, site plan.
No, we've got the aerial photos, the orthal photos there, and yeah, it's an existing site. The access is already there. They don't propose to do anything about it except utilize this old mineral extraction site for disposal.
They will be submitting a reclamation plan, though, for your approval.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, if the board...
If it is granted.
Yes.
That's what it's getting.
So it appeared to me that essentially what we're saying is, based on testimony today, yea or nay, that they could move ahead. We have planning for this.
Correct.
That's basically in a nutshell. Any other questions?
Yeah, in the ordinance, it talks about landfill sites or facilities shall be in substantial conformance with Stock 20 always. And based on what you've seen so far, in terms of plans,
yes, and the biggest thing is we've got it spelled out as to what clean fill consists of, and that's the only material that will be allowed to be in here.
I have a question on that. Is a broken asphalt pavement considered clean fill? But if they don't include
it. Well, this is what we've got from directions from DNR. As to the material that's there, and it says broken pavement. It does not say asphalt.
Doesn't say what it is. That's my question. Pavement.
I think that's what is intended.
Okay, that might need to clarify. Make sure that everyone agrees on it.
Well, I think that's something that both the county and DNR has to look at their permit, and then I don't know whether they define broken pavements in administrative rule, the DNR administrative rule, that includes asphalt, or would you probably include it? That probably questions come up over and over.
Sure. Painted items and asbestos would not be permitted as clean fill.
Well, again, our responsibility is, as I see it, is that plans that they need to in our permit, they need to be land use permit from the county. They need their plans, they need their restoration or their restoration plan, green, et cetera, et cetera. So essentially we leave it up to you to decide if this is going to work or not.
Yeah, it will be up to our department to enforce the operation at this location, yes.
So it's the Stark County's responsibility to monitor what's being put into this site?
It would be our responsibility, and it would also fall under DNR, because they'll have to get DNR permits as well.
Right. So both the county and the DNR will inspect
That's correct.
Yeah. And any demolition like this, and the DNR has authority.
Well, I think the health department also has authority of dealing, if they're dealing with a building that's got asbestos and lead-based paint as well.
It's difficult for us to. How would we do that? Or stay well. We got a permit that needs to be issued. And I guess it's our responsibility to look at, well, this is a suitable spot to begin with, based on the testimony given today.
Correct.
Or a landfill site.
Right.
Do you have any questions? Here it is. The applicant, come forward. Please raise your right hand. Do you swear to tell the truth, the best of your knowledge?
Yeah, I do. Ed Zobel, from Ray Zobel
and
Son.
And your address?
S3946 Fisherman Road.
What would you like to tell us?
Well, the clarification of a demolition, this is a clean fill site. It's not a demolition site. Demolition is a whole issue with the DNR. We have a demolition site. And this is clean fill, and when you talk where the bricks come from, most cases, bricks will come from when you're repairing a street or tearing a street out. Many streets have brick under them. That's where your bricks come from. And that was the terminology used by the DNR for a clean landfill site. This is not a demolition site. That's the difference between them.
Tell us how this is a suitable site, why this is a suitable site in your opinion, or this in purpose.
Well, the purpose, this was an exhausted mineral extraction site that before mineral extraction sites were permitted, and you had your high walls, and you can fill it in and grade it with topsoil, and then there's a lot of demand for places, and there's a whole lot of places that stuff is being dumped right now, or isn't supposed to be. And this is a place that you can put it where it's legal and it'll be cared for and replaced right and cared for, and it's under the county and monitored.
And you don't see this as being an eyesore on the landscape, be visible by the public?
Well, you cannot see it unless you've got to drive up to the site in order to see it. You can't see it from any direction unless you fly over the airplane.
Okay. Have you applied for permit with the DNR and all yet? Have you started to develop your plans for the site?
I'm told this is not a DNR approved deal. This is colony only for concrete and dirt and stuff like that. Because it is not a demolition site.
Okay.
Demolition site is a whole terminology that's different as a semi and a car.
Okay. And do you think you have adequate topsoil for reclamation of the?
We have all the stripping from the exhausted quarry there to cover.
So now that quarry was reclaimed after it was exhausted.
That was what they call it with grandfather. All the quarries that were started. I can't tell you what year that quarry was started.
Your application says that any runoff from the landfill will run onto grass line. Could you show us on the map, I think WF 6-4, where that PDF along with the topo map on it? remember that graph on the first screen?
Pardon?
You referred to that the runoff would go to a grass line site. You're on that, on this map, where would that be?
Well, that, you can see the quarry like at 0717.
Yep.
Okay, that was the quarry area, and back when that quarry was started, there was no zoning ordinances or stuff. You could start a quarry if you could buy it, you could start it.
But in your application, you said that any runoff from your operation would go to a grassland area, and I'm asking where that is on the map.
That grass area would be, well, just to the north of that 0717, that's all a grass strip there.
So just sort of north of what looks to be like a lane that forms sort of the northern boundary of that open area. Looking at that.
1165.
So where the 1165 is?
Yeah.
That area?
That area there. And there's a drainage area there, and then it drains more to the east. To the 1125 and then over to the 1140.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions to the applicant? All right, thank you. Okay, I'd like to invite individuals that would like to speak in favor. Come up here.
Linda Burleski, and I am here as Plan Commission Chairman for the Town of Reedsburg, representing the Town of Reedsburg. Mr. Doble did come before our Plan Commission on March 15th of this year, and we did recommend approval to the Town Board, and he came before our Town of Reedsburg Board on April 12th, and they did approve the project. The two things that we really liked about this is, first of all, that it will provide a much-needed disposal service to get rid of some of these products like the trees, the brush, and the stones for the county. We like that it's gated, that Mr. Zobel will control, that he will be the only one that will be able to use this. And the reason we like this is because if it's not gated, I mean, the type of trash and stuff that could be dumped there, so he's really been proactive on making sure that it was gated and he'll control the use. The other thing that we liked is that it is not visible from the road. Like Mr. Global said, you actually have to drive up to the site to see it. So basically no one will even know it's there unless they drive right up to it. And if I may, I have a letter from the Town of Reedsburg I'd like to read, and then I'll give it to Gina as part of record. Is that all right? Okay. It's dated April 27, 2010. It's regarding the Global Clean Material Landfill. To whom it may concern. A proposal came before the Town of Reedsburg Plan Commission Committee and the Town of Reedsburg Board members for Ed Noble to create a clean material landfill. This will be a landfill that contains non-contaminated material such as brush, trees, stones, etc. This landfill will be located in the Town of Reedsburg in Section 19, Town 12, North, Range 4E. The Town of Reedsburg Plan Commission Committee and the Town of Reedsburg Board members would like to recommend to Sauk County the approval of the clean material landfill to be created. Sincerely yours, Rebecca L. Meyer, Town of Reedsburg Clerk. And that's all I have.
Any questions? Thank you. Anybody else would like to speak in favor? I'd like to invite anybody that would like to speak in opposition. I'd like to invite anybody who would like to speak as interest may appear. Seeing no one, I'll close for you. Anybody like to speak in any of the three categories? If not, we'll close this portion of the hearing and go into deliberation.
I make a motion to grant a special exception permit to allow a private landfill.
With the conditions?
Correct, with the conditions of Sauk County Planning and Zoning.
Second. We have a motion and second to approve the special exemption permit with the conditions recommended by Suffolk County Planning and Zoning. Any discussion? Hearing none, call the vote. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Aye, five votes. Permit granted. All right, next case.
Planning and Zoning. This request is for a special exception permit to authorize filling and grading, this is as completed, of more than 4,000 square feet on slopes of less than 12%. The property is located in the Shoreland Protection Zoning District on real estate described as part of the west half of the southwest quarter, section 24, town 13 north, range 6 east, town of Belton. There are no land use permits found or septic permits found at the county level. I have not found any previous appeals to the Board of Adjustment. At this time, no citations have been issued. Section 8.08, parent 3, parent A3 of the Sauk County Shoreland Protection Ordinance provides that a special exception permit is required for any filling or grading of more than 4,000 square feet on slopes of less than 12%. When reviewing a special exception proposal for filling and grading in the Shoreland Protection District, the Board of Adjustment looked at several criteria, including the conditions in Section 8.08, Parent 3, and the provisions specified in Sections 8.14, Parent 3, Parent D, and 8.14, Parent 3, Parent C. To the north, south, and west, The property is surrounded by agricultural lands. To the east is agricultural lands, and the Wisconsin River is approximately a quarter of a mile to the east, and there is a residential subdivision along the river about a quarter of a mile from the site. Floodplain, according to the maps adopted by the county in December, is located in the AE flood zone, which includes a flood fringe area that has been studied. There are no mapped wetlands indicated in this area. This property is within 300 feet of the landward side of the floodplain and is thereby subject to the Shoreland Protection Ordinance, Chapter 8. I could direct the board to take a look at the photos, exhibits 5, 1, and 2. Photo number 1 was taken from Highway A looking to the southeast. Photo number 2 is taken from the Highway A again looking to the northeast. At the time the photos were taken, the lettering had been taken off the wall You'll see in the video that by the time that was done, the lettering was back on. And it's, photo 3 is looking to the northwest, and photo 4 is the view to the southwest. Yeah, if you could start the video, please. That's a view from Highway A, looking to the south, panning to the west, pretty much surrounded by agricultural property. That's panning back, looking to the east. And that's looking at the other side, would be looking to the northwest, and a view, again, there again you can see the lettering on the wall at this time. At the time the staff report was written, the town of Delton had not responded regarding this request. I don't know if we actually ever got anything out of them on that.
Yeah.
Exhibit 4-1.
Yeah. And just the acknowledgement of comments is moved and seconded. They have no objections.
No objection. Planning and zoning would recommend that the following conditions be considered by the board should the board grant the special exception permit. A, that all work on and use of the premises shall proceed with the plans and supplemental evidence presented at the hearing. It is the responsibility of the applicants. You're all required town, state, federal, and county permits within 1 year of the hearing date. County permits required for this approval shall include land use permits, and all permits shall be in place prior to any additional work being started. Either the erosion control shall be installed and maintained until the site is stabilized. C, a before and after condition study shall be provided to the department to determine the impact on the floodplain prior to the permit being issued. D, that Sauk County Planning and Zoning should be granted permission to view the site to ensure compliance with these conditions and other relevant provisions of the Sauk County Ordinance. The power to ensure compliance with these conditions is given to Sauk County Planning and Zoning. If the department finds that any of these conditions have been violated, they are hereby authorized to take corrective action, either through suspension of the permit, citations, or by any means of enforcement that is within their power.
Steve?
Yes.
I apologize if you've already commented on this, but we have page 2-7, 2-8, 2-9. Has this structure been in place since 2005?
I'm not sure where that...
I see those dates on those photos.
Where those dates came from, I'm assuming that the photos were taken by the applicant's agent. Perhaps he can address that.
Maybe they didn't.
I don't believe that it's been out there since 2005, and perhaps nobody would have mentioned it to us.
The only reason, I mean, this is basically because it's put on the 300-foot setback on
the river. It's within 300 feet of the flood zone. Inside the flood zone. That's what puts it in the jurisdiction of Chapter 8.
Right, okay. And this is a after
to the deck.
Correct.
Again.
Correct.
Under condition C, if we grant this, that before or after condition studies should be provided to the department. What is a before or after
condition? What that is a permit has to be issued for any fill that's placed in the flood zone. And they have to provide engineering that's going to prove or show to the department and the administrator that this fill, the placement of this fill, is not going to increase the flood zone elevation by more than a hundredth of a foot. Well, they'll have to get a civil engineer. I don't know how they do that calculation, but
we'll
have to provide them with that evidence.
This is located in a flood fringe?
Yes.
The calculation has been done then, essentially.
The calculation for what the existing floodplain is, but that was done prior to this material being placed in there.
Right.
So now they have to prove that the placement of this material will not increase that flood zone elevation in excess of a hundredth of a foot.
However, because there is a detailed study with a floodway designation and a flood fringe designation, they are allowed to fill in a flood fringe zone, and study does show that there will be no increase in the floodplain. And that's going back to Shaw County Floodplain Zoning Ordinance and Administrative Rule, DNR Administrative Rule 1R-16.
So the rule is different for the floodplain as compared to the floodplain fringe.
It's all floodplain. Floodplain is the whole thing. The flood fringe is the area that is flooded. But if that area is filled, it does not affect flood profile.
I think I understand what you mean.
The floodway is the area that conveys the flood water. The floodway, that's part of the floodplain.
Floodway is more restrictive.
Right.
As far as permits goes than general flood. Plain or flood fringe.
You can't build or you cannot put fill in a floodway without doing a study. See whether if there is an impact.
If it will displace water and raise the flood.
Right. Or displace conveyance.
That's probably the end of our discussion here.
Yeah, so that's.
But I asked the question, so I deserve the answer.
Was there any permit of this at all?
Not from our department.
So
whether or not they
built this sign piled up there around it.
Whether or not they received any sort of permits from the town of Belton, I'm not aware. I don't believe they did because the town of Belton contacted us to.
Wouldn't there be a minimum of a building permit?
We don't have any zoning jurisdiction in any place in Belton, other than the shoreline. So. It does need permits from our department because of its location near the floodplain.
Okay, any citations issued?
Not yet.
But they're being contemplated?
I believe they're going to have to pay triple the fees for the land use permits because it was done prior to a permit.
Thank you.
Belton doesn't have, they've got their own flood ordinances, so basically it's the shoreline floodplain ordinances that South County has control over, and not land use permit. Correct?
Right.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you, Dave. The applicant come forward. Right, to tell the truth for the rest of your knowledge?
I do.
You said your name and your address?
Jerome Mercer, my business address, 221 3rd Avenue, Fairview, Wisconsin. I'm an attorney here in town. I am representing the limited liability company that's the applicant.
the sign was put up, it was out of ignorance that it was done by my client after the fact. I got involved, and the subject was whether or not there were any county permits, and I'm not sure what, if the town of Belton, there's a sign permit issued by the town at this time. We went through that process. But anyway, after subject of county permitting was required, the guy that I represent, his name is Joe Palumbo, he said, do whatever needs to be done to get the necessary permits, and so that's why we're here today. It was not an intent to avoid any requirements in this, whatever the requirements are, he intends to comply with them. That's why we're here, whatever those conditions. The Bell's Dynasty LLC owns the property. The purpose of the sign is just simply to identify the owner. It's the case of an individual that has only been there recently, last few months that it was constructed. It hasn't been there. I have no idea what it has made on the sign. But anyway, this individual purchased the property, and he was very proud that he had purchased the property. He has a number of children, and he put the sign up, Dale's Dynasty, and that's the owner of the property, and I just know why he wants the sign and that sort of thing. That's all that I know. The only additional work that would be done regard to the sign, he was planning on having the area around the sign seeded with grass next week. Or erosion control, just something more attractive sign. All that.
Well, I have a question here. The letter that sent our application came from your office. You said 1,200 cubic yards of material was brought over from piles at the edge of the field and placed around the base of the structure. Where, edge of the field towards the river, or?
I don't know the specific location that was removed from for this property.
Do you think this fellow understands there's some burden to that he needs to pay attention to in the future or other buildings?
He does. And
I'm kind of surprised from a metropolitan area, which is really a burden to just about everything.
Well, I know when I got involved, he did not know.
Any other questions? Thank you, sir. Anybody would like to speak in favor? Would invite anybody would like to speak in opposition? Anybody would like to speak as interest may appear? Mark, come on up. State your name.
Mark Stewart, Saw County Planning and Zoning Director. I just want to kind of give a clarification here. As some of you know, Rich is a floodplain engineer for the DNR, so he's vast knowledge in this. But from our standpoint, this is an AE zone, which means it has been studied. And when the DNR or FEMA does studies on floodplains, they assume that the flood fringe areas, areas that generally handle the storage of floodwaters, have been filled to create, what has been the floodway. But our ordinance does also allow us to recommend, or actually not recommend, to require a study still to be done. So even though a study's been done that says this entire area is filled, which would create this floodway and the entire floodplain, Our ordinance still does allow for us to require studies to make sure that the impacts to the floodplain and to the shoreline areas aren't greater than perceived. So we have it within our authority in the ordinance to require before and after survey a study to make sure that the impact is not detrimental to the floodplain.
In the case of this structure, which doesn't seem to be huge,
mm-hmm.
this is something that you're having to require?
Yes. It is significant. I don't know if we have the square footage, but it's 6,000 square feet of fill added in this area. So,
is the area where they got the soil from to build this structure, or to fill around this structure in the floodplain fringe also?
Tell you the truth, I don't know where they got that fill from. I don't know if the representative for the applicant is here.
The same elevation, it would be a pun intended, a wash.
Right. But I don't know where they brought the filling from. So.
No.
Mm-hmm. So I would think it was brought in.
Reported that 1,200 cubic yards of material was taken from a different part of the site.
Sure. Right. Where are we at the material? But that's something we should look into as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Anybody want to speak in any of the categories? Come on, please.
I'm Bill Meyer. I live right on Ringland Road, just north of where this lease is at. The fill was taken off of Victor's property, which he bought also on an existing where they tried to make a pond. So there was a hole there, and they were doing this. First off, I'm going to say this. I'm not opposed about this at all. As long as he keeps it up the way it is, it's not a bad looking thing. It's just showing that, hey, I can do this. And if he wants to expand on this or something, and for him to get the proper permits, he's a big guy. Sorry, he's a big guy. He's got a lot of money. And just for him to think that he can come and just, he knows that there's permits. And as long as he keeps on getting permits, this kind of stuff here. And I just assume I'll see you late on it, but I can see it from my house, my shed, this kind of stuff here. As far as, it doesn't bother me for a sign there.
So you felt that he dug him, they clarified this for the board that where he dug it out, he was dug it out for and made a pond or
no,
a
there was tree. There was Victor tried to put a pond, yeah. And that owned the property that was just south of Jameson's. The sign was on the old Jameson property. He bought the property from Jameson. Victor, he's trying to block the whole, that whole corner down there, so we don't get, we're in Linden State, Jameson, part of Victor's, see what he plans on doing, I don't need to go into that, but,
well, Victor is Valentine,
now, part of 20 acres of it. Victor, quite a while ago, tried to get a pond there for the geese and everything else, put it in old water, pretty much. And that's where they got the majority of it.
So is that part of the river?
Yes.
So
well, I shouldn't really say that. It's basically straight south of where the sign is. It's closer to the river.
Is it lower? Is elevation than...
Yes. Not by much. It's pretty flat.
So essentially, it would be, you know, that's the flood fringe, that would be a flood fringe.
I would assume so, yes.
Okay. Okay, that's where Dr. material out.
Mm-hmm. He just, there was already a hole there. And probably, I would imagine, part of the fill was where they put the soil and they dug the hole. But not this guy. He didn't do that.
And is the sandy material?
Pretty much, yes.
Okay. Any questions? There's a picture of the 210 of the globe, that old globe. Can catch me, put that on the thing. But what that is before. Mm-hmm.
I believe that was the intention for the globe to go on the sign yet. I don't know if that's still in the plan or not.
We don't have to comment on our existing merit. We don't debate what goes on the sign.
I guess that would be up to the board.
Greetings right here. Yeah. That's the old township. Yes, it is. Okay. Anybody would like to speak in any of the three categories? Seeing none, we will close this portion of the hearing and go to deliberation. And I guess I'll leave the floodplain issue lie. And
I move to recommend the special effects.
And I will have a second to that. We have a motion to approve the special exemption for the tournament grading for Dell's Dynasty with the conditions recommended by Dell County Planning and Zoning. Any discussion? Seeing none, I will call a vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Seeing none, 5-0. This vote. Motion passed.
Aye.
Motion carried.